So today we're looking at the practice, shamatha practice of mindfulness of breathing, focusing in the area of the abdomen. And we saw there that the two main tools we use in this practice, of course, in any shamatha practice, is the mindfulness, the main tool, our ability to hold the object without becoming distracted. And then, of course, together with that, the tool of introspection or quality control. It's like the spy in the corner of our mind monitoring our mindfulness. How is our mindfulness going? Are we still on the object or are we becoming dull or distracted? And we saw yesterday evening in this shamatha chart, on the reverse, we saw that there were actually five faults in this practice that we need to overcome. The first fault, of course, there we mentioned last night was laziness. And so, in general, as we saw yesterday, that if we don't see any benefit in any particular activity, then of course we tend to be quite lazy when it comes to doing that. So if you find yourself in this practice becoming quite lazy, not having really any enthusiasm in the practice, often it's because we're not really appreciating the benefits of the practice. So then we really need to reflect on the benefits of this practice and all the different benefits that we will get from this practice, you know, developing this calm, clear, focused mind, you know, and all the other benefits that come along with that that we already looked at briefly yesterday. And through that way, we will have faith in the practice, the first antidote, this faith that the practice will bring us a lot of benefit. And then, of course, we'll aspire to do the practice, the second antidote of aspiration. And then when we have aspiration to do the practice, then, of course, we're going to put a lot of effort into the practice. So then actually it becomes sort of effortless because we enjoy doing the practice because we see a lot of benefit. So we need to be careful that this practice, or any practice that for that matter, for that fact, doesn't become some sort of hardship. If we see some meditative practice as some sort of hardship that we have to endure, then we've sort of missed the point. So like anything in life, if we see a lot of benefit, we'll be very enthusiastic to do the practice, no matter how difficult it is. And then we saw that the second fault here was the forgetfulness, that is, forgetting the object. So, of course, the antidote there is mindfulness. So we're sort of holding the object with mindfulness so we don't forget it, we don't become distracted. And then the third fault here was this pair of laxity and excitement, or dullness and distraction. And so here the antidote is introspection, so our ability to monitor our mindfulness. Are we becoming dull or distracted? The technical word, again, is laxity and excitement. So excitement here, of course, is the most common form of distraction. We're sort of pulled away by something exciting, the so-called sense pleasures. And then laxity is the technical word for dullness. Now, in general, we tend to sort of fall to one of these two extremes in our meditative practice. Either we start drifting into dullness and just getting spaced out, or we just start going into agitation, distraction. So we are trying to balance our mind between these two imbalances, and we can do this balancing actually on each breath. And there are a number of things to keep in mind there as a beginner that can help us to do this balancing act. So that's what I'd like to briefly mention now before we go back into the practice. So for distraction, the natural time to really overcome that is on the out-breath, if we have been getting agitated and distracted. So remember, if we get distracted, we need to make sure that we don't get frustrated, because it's very easy that, you know, naturally as a beginner we tend to get distracted a lot, And naturally, we just start to get frustrated at getting distracted. So we need to first recognize, of course, that that's our natural habit. Our natural tendency is to become distracted. And so to accept that fact that we will, as a beginner, often become distracted, and not to get frustrated by it, because that's just going to create more agitation. So if we notice that we've become distracted, then the very first thing to do, of course, is not to get frustrated and clamp down, but simply to relax. And then once we've sort of stayed in that relaxed state, then we can gently release the distraction, let go of the distraction. And then, of course, very gently return to the breath. And when we return to the breath, to not then forcibly clamp down more tightly. So, you know, we can keep these sort of three words in mind when we get distracted, is simply to relax, to release the distraction, let go of it, and then very gently return to the object, in this case the breath at the abdomen. And similarly, we can have a couple of words to remind us what to do in case we just simply get spaced out or dull. As I mentioned already just now, often the reason we drift into dullness is because we've lost interest in the practice. You know, we're just losing interest in the practice and we're becoming very dull. So one of the things we can do is to refresh our interest in the practice by remembering all the benefits of the practice. And then we need to, of course, restore our attention on the breath, that is, reapply mindfulness. So again, restore the attention on the breath. And then, of course, to maintain that ongoing flow of mindfulness, not just restore it and then become dull again. So then, to retain that ongoing flow of mindfulness. So refresh the interest in the practice, restore our attention on the breath, and retain the ongoing flow of mindfulness. So these are a couple of words that can help us, as particularly as a beginner, to know what to do. And we can do this balancing act, and we're going to do that in this meditation, on each breath. Now, it's a natural time on the out-breath to really relax, release any distractions and return. Also with agitation, if our mind is getting agitated. This is simply on each out-breath, relax and then release any distractions and return to the object. And for overcoming dullness, the in-breath is a natural opportunity to refresh our interest, restore our attention, retain the ongoing mindfulness. It's a natural time to reapply our mindfulness on the object, to refresh our focus on the breath. So we're going to do a little bit this balancing act on each breath, which means then one breath can be a complete meditation. And so we're going to be practicing this a little bit, using these phrases in this meditation to remind us what to do in that occasion. So before going into the practice, let's just read a little bit more about this practice. Alan Wallace has a few more things to say about the practice on the abdomen. So again, on page 33, he says, halfway down, he says, "We begin this practice at stage one with a primary emphasis on relaxation." "Generally, the more relaxed we are, the more stable our attention can become. But that relaxation must be balanced with vigilance. Otherwise, it will simply lead to laxity, sluggishness, and unbridled daydreaming. Once we have established a foundation of relaxation, we can more strongly emphasize attentional stability. One way to cultivate attentional stability is to direct our attention downward to the sensations in the abdomen associated with the in and out breath. Mindfulness of the entire body is very helpful for relaxing the mind, but this technique of focusing on the abdomen, which is commonly taught in the Burmese Theravada tradition, can be especially helpful for stabilizing the mind. Many Buddhist traditions, including Zen and Theravada Buddhism, encourage the practice of counting breaths as a means of stabilizing attention. And this advice is found in the Indian Mahayana tradition as well. So this is what we've looked at a little bit in the previous session. The Theravada Buddhist tradition is based on the teachings attributed to the Buddha as first recorded in the Pali language, and it is focused on the attainment of one's own individual liberation or nirvana. The Mahayana tradition is based on the teachings attributed to the Buddha as recorded in Sanskrit, and it centers on the realization of Buddhahood for the sake of all beings. One Mahayana sutra, for instance, states, now he's quoting a sutra, a Mahayana sutra, says, "How do you correctly note with the power of mindfulness the in and out movement of the breath? You count them correctly." And then he's quoting a Theravada text here. He says, "Following the classic treatise, The Path of Purification, a contemporary Sri Lankan scholar suggests counting from 1 to 10, with 1 count for each full respiration. After you get the hang of that," he says, "you may progress to a more advanced technique." And I won't go through it here, and he's also quoting a Sangha here, but basically he's saying there are variations on this counting. One variation, of course, is simply to keep counting, not to count from 1 to 10 back to 1, start again, so you can just keep counting. And some other variations is to count 1 on the out-breath, 2 on the in-breath, 3 on the out-breath, so do more counting than 1 per breath. And then also we can do less, you know, as we can simply on maybe for 3 breaths count 1 or for 5 breaths count 1. So we can do more or less counting depending on our personal preference. And then he says here, down at the bottom, he says, "Buddhadasa, a 20th century Thai teacher, translated the word anapanasati, which is usually translated as mindfulness of breathing, as mindfulness with breathing. What we attend to in this practice is the field of tactile sensations. What we attend with is the breathing. Do your best not to lose contact with the ebb and flow of the breath as it influences sensations in your abdomen. Keep your mind open and relaxed, never constricted. You may be surprised to see how much discomfort arises in your body, even when you practice sessions, when your practice sessions are relatively short and your meditation cushion is comfortable. This is normal, so don't become discouraged. You may view involuntary thoughts and bodily tension as informative signs of underlying mental and physical imbalances and learn from them. The unrest you experience in your body and mind is not the real problem. It is symptomatic of to the extent to which the whole psychosomatic system is out of tune. Let these symptoms remind you to relax the mind and breathe into areas of tension in the body." So again, not only will we notice as a beginner that our mind is often constantly distracted and dull, but also our body, of course, will probably have some aches and pains in it. But this is natural. We're not used to sitting in this posture. So as I mentioned already, if we notice some little itches and scratches, try not to move the body. Keep the body as still as possible. But of course, if some pain starts to build up in some part of the body, you may need to shift your posture to alleviate that. So not over unnecessary fidgeting or movement. Otherwise, we're just going to get distracted. So what we're going to do in this session is we are going to do 2 24-minute sessions back-to-back, with a little 2-minute break in the middle. And in that 2-minute break, if you need to stretch your legs, you can do that quietly. And we're going to optionally introduce the noting, the counting of the breath in this meditation. Now, some of you may find counting helpful. Some of you may find that it's just another distraction and it's not very helpful. If you don't find it helpful, then don't bring it in. And what we can do with the counting, if you find it helpful, is not to overuse it. Meaning, if you find that you're focusing reasonably well in the meditation, then we don't need to bring it in. But if you find that at some point in the meditation you're becoming very much distracted a lot, then you can bring in the counting for a short time until the mind stabilizes, and then you can let go of the counting. Another variation that you might like to experiment with in this meditation is that in some traditions, instead of counting the breath, they talk about noting the breath. So instead of mentally counting at the end of each in-breath, then we mentally note the breath. And one example would be that when you're breathing out, you just mentally note breathing out, or simply out. And when you're breathing in, just mentally note breathing in. So you can mentally note out, in, and so forth. If you prefer to use noting, don't make it too elaborate. Keep it very, very simple. Otherwise, it'll simply become mindfulness of noting and not mindfulness of the breath, okay? So we're going to introduce these two little methods here of overcoming dullness and distraction, and then, again, we're going to bring in the optional counting and noting if you find it helpful. If you don't find it helpful, you can simply leave it out. So we'll do these two 24-minute sessions with a little 2-minute break in the middle. So finding a nice, comfortable posture. So as always, we begin by preparing the body, setting the body into a state of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. So allowing your awareness to descend into the body. Becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. And using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. Softening and relaxing all the muscles in the face. breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Then preparing the mind, setting it in a state of ease and relaxation. And so letting go of any thoughts of the past or the future. And simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Now narrow your focus and focus on the sensations of the breath in the area of the abdomen. Focusing with bare attention on the sensations of the rising and lowering of the abdomen as you breathe. help balance the mind, to help overcome agitation and distraction. We can use the out-breath as an opportunity to relax, to release any distractions, and very gently return to focusing on the breath. So relax, release, and return. To help overcome dullness or being spaced out, we can use the in-breath as an opportunity to refresh our interest in the practice and to restore our attention on the breath, and then to retain an ongoing flow of mindfulness throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. So refresh, restore, and retain. if you find that you're constantly becoming distracted, then if you find it helpful, you can experiment with counting or even noting the breath as a way to help stabilize the mind. If you need to stretch your legs, you can do that now quietly. So once again, finding that nice, comfortable posture. While keeping the back nice and straight, allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed and completely at ease. And keeping the body as still as possible, avoiding any unnecessary moving or fidgeting. Allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. again, narrow your focus and focus on the sensations of the breath in the area of the abdomen. Maintaining that ongoing flow of mindfulness of the sensations of the breath throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. find that you're becoming agitated or distracted, then use the out-breath as an opportunity to relax, to release the distraction, and very gently return to focusing on the breath. So relax, release, and return every time you notice that you've become distracted. If you find that you're simply becoming dull or spaced out, then use the in-breath as an opportunity to refresh your interest in the practice. And then restore your attention on the breath, and then retain that ongoing flow of mindfulness. So refresh, restore, and retain. So as we've seen already in the shamatha practice, the main tool we use is the rope of mindfulness to hold the object. And then the second tool we use is this hook of introspection, quality control to monitor the mindfulness, to monitor if our mind is becoming dull or distracted. And then, of course, if it's becoming dull or distracted, then to reapply the mindfulness on the object. But, of course, prevention is the best cure. So there are a few things we can do to help reduce the likelihood of dullness and distraction arising in the first place. And one of those, of course, is the posture. So that's why it's important to have a good posture, because particularly if our back is not nice and straight, we're sort of hunched over like this and the head is dropping down, then of course it's very likely that we're going to fall into dullness. Also, if our back is too rigid, and particularly if the head is too high, then we may get some agitation, distraction coming in. So therefore, a nice straight back and the head in that position, not too high, not too low. That can help as well. Of course, the eyes will play a factor in that as well. So the general recommendation, of course, is to have the eyes slightly open, because if we have them closed, then probably we're going to slip into dullness. If we have them too wide open, maybe too much light, maybe some agitation and distraction. But that's something that we can adjust a little bit depending on our personal preference. Myself, when I first started meditating many years ago, I was a very agitated sort of person, and I found that even having them slightly open was really causing me agitation. So for some years I actually meditated with my eyes closed, which helped the agitation, the distraction, but then, of course, slowly drifting into dullness. So if you're the sort of person who really is highly agitated, highly distracted, then maybe as a beginning point, lightly closed could help. If you're the sort of person, of course, that is always drifting into dullness, then very much recommended to have them slightly open. Otherwise, we're just simply going to become dull and half asleep in our meditative practice. Of course, also the environmental conditions can have an effect. The place where you meditate, when you're at home, in your room, if the room, of course, is too hot, then, of course, we're going to get drowsy and sleepy. If it's too cold, maybe some agitation. Also, the lighting is something we can adjust when we go home. If we're the sort of person that drifts into dullness, maybe not a good idea to have our room fairly dark, but rather more light in the room to help that. Or if we're the sort of person easily agitated, distracted, maybe we can dim the lights a little bit to help with that. Also, of course, if there's a lot of noise around, then that's going to, of course, cause some distraction. So ideally, of course, to find a location that is nice and quiet for particularly this shamatha practice. Also, some other things, of course, that can help prevent dullness and distraction. One, of course, is to make sure that we get enough sleep. Unfortunately, in our modern society, we lead very fast-paced, hectic lives, and we often have very full lives, a lot of things we're doing, and often we don't seem to have enough time to do everything, and so what we often do is we cut the amount of sleep we get each night. And somehow we manage to sort of function, but not in a very good way. So if we're not getting enough quality sleep, of course, then yes, of course we're going to fall into dullness. So we need to make sure we get enough sleep. So that's very important. Also, of course, diet is very important. Again, unfortunately, in our modern society, our diets often don't tend to be very good, and particularly things like sugar, too much sugar can contribute to a lot of this ADHD that seems to be epidemic in our modern society. So we need to make sure we have a nice, healthy, balanced diet. And, of course, to exercise the body, so looking after our body in terms of exercise also is going to be very, very helpful. And also, of course, not to meditate right after some big, heavy meal, because we're probably just going to slip into dullness there. So that's another consideration to take into account. And one thing that we're going to be also talking a little bit more about later in the retreat is keep the sessions short. If we're trying to meditate too long, then we're probably just going to fall into dullness and distraction. So the key phrase here, of course, is quality over quantity. It's much better to meditate for 20 minutes with focus rather than sit there for an hour and for the last half hour we're just drifting into dullness and distraction, because then we're actually increasing the faults rather than decreasing them by allowing ourselves getting caught up in dullness and distraction. So that's why also here in this retreat we're keeping the sessions relatively short, these 24 minutes, with a little 2-minute break in the middle. So same if when you're at home, if you want to meditate longer in the morning, but you can't sustain that in a good way, then break your time up into two with a little break in the middle. So quality over quantity. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how short or long to make the sessions. We're going to discuss that in more detail later. So that's a few things we can do in terms of helping to prevent dullness and distraction in our meditation. And of course, if dullness and distraction were to arise, then of course the first thing is to recognize them using our introspection, and then to use some of these ideas we put on the board here in terms of simply then reapplying the mindfulness to the object. So that's a few things about preventing and curing dullness and distraction. And then that brings this session to a close. It's 12 o'clock here now, so let's break for lunch. Come back at 2 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock session, we're going to go into the compassion wing of the practice. And in particular today, we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of loving kindness, very important in the practice. So let's break for lunch and come back at 2 o'clock.